It's good to be with you all. Not the way that we would like to be together, but this is what we'll have to do during this time, the present crisis that we're dealing with the virus. And that is going to be the basis of the series that I'm going to begin with this first message. And the series, I'm going to call it Unprecedented, with a question mark. And that'll make sense, I think, as I get going through the series. And the question, is this really unprecedented? And I'll get into that in a few minutes. This series is going out to Elmwood Bible Chapel in Renfrew. So greetings to everyone there as you listen to this. Looking forward so much to being with you again and having face-to-face fellowship. This is also going out to Listowel Bible Chapel, and greetings to all of you there. I know that many of you are busy in the fields this time of the year, working, preparing the ground for your crops, and our heart goes out to all of you at this time, and love to all of you as well, and we look forward to eventually being back at Listowel to see you all, God willing, and maybe the Lord is going to come before that, and then we're going to all have a very awesome reunion in heaven, and that'll be so much better. But we trust the Lord in all of these things, whatever his plan is. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, the first text I'm going to use, and I'm going to spend a lot of time in this message doing an introduction, laying the groundwork, if you will, for the series. So not a lot of biblical instruction in this, but I want to begin by reading three verses in Ecclesiastes 1. I think they will make sense as we keep going forward in the series, and particularly in this message. Solomon is the writer, the Spirit of God, speaking through Solomon, speaking about the world life under the sun, life as we know it here on earth, and the things that happen, history, if you will, and the things that happen through time on earth, says that which, verse 9, that which has been is what will be, that which is done is what will be done, and there is nothing new under the sun. Is there anything of which it may be said, see, this is new? It has already been in ancient times before us. There is no remembrance of former things, nor will there be any remembrance of things that are to come by those who will come after. Let's just quickly pray. Father, we ask for your blessing on your word. I pray for your encouragement for your people. I pray for those that are being touched by this virus, perhaps those that have lost loved ones, those who have been diagnosed or know people who have been diagnosed with it. We especially lovingly commit them to you, Father. We think of the healthcare workers that are facing people with this virus right on the front lines. We pray especially for them. We think of the communities, the long-term care homes that have been hit particularly hard. And we just pray, God, for those that are in those places. We pray for your people in those places to be a light, to speak encouragement and blessing to the people that are going through these things. And we just pray for the witness of Christ to be lifted up. We thank you for what you are doing in reaching people, even in this time of crisis. And we pray that you would continue to do that. We pray for wisdom for our leaders. And I just ask now that you would guide my words and what I say, Lord, that it would be honoring to you, Father, and truthful. And I pray and ask these things and pray for your blessing in the hearts of your people. In Jesus' name, amen. So I want to begin by saying that I'm going to present some information in this message that might sound like I'm minimizing the COVID-19 crisis. That is not my intent. We recognize that there's a reality of suffering that is happening with COVID-19. We'll get into that in a few minutes. But I want to, by looking back in history and looking at some particular details, get a perspective on what we're dealing with in terms of what has happened in the past, and eventually, in another message, look forward to perhaps what is going to happen in the future. And I want to begin with the word unprecedented itself. I chose that word as a title for the message, but unprecedented with a question mark after it, as I said earlier. But let me define the word unprecedented. And by the way, that has become the buzzword of the COVID-19 crisis, is it not? Every press conference, every leader that gets up, it seems every news item, every information, email or letter that comes to you, about the times that we're going through. The word unprecedented almost appears in every one of those communications. And so I think of it as the buzzword of this crisis. It comes up over and over. So let me define that word for you, because the question I want to ask is what we're going through truly unprecedented? So here's a definition of the word unprecedented. Never before known or experienced. Never having happened or existed in the past. Or something that has not happened before. Now, I think you get the gist of the meaning of that word. It's like, if something is unprecedented, it has never, ever happened before. Now, I think before I go any further, you already know the answer to the question. Is it true? Is it really true that what we are going through is unprecedented? The answer is simply no. And I don't know if people don't understand what the meaning of that word is and they're using it because it's become the popular word. I did the same thing when this first happened. I used that word a few times and talking with people. I think I may have even put it in a letter or two that I sent out. But maybe we just don't understand what the word means, or maybe we do, but we're so focused on us and our time that we're ignoring what has happened through history. So let me just take a minute to outline some of the things that have happened through history concerning pandemics. Let's just deal with pandemics. I want to begin with this. The world population today is about 7.8 billion people. There are, as of April 30th, and I realize when you're listening to this, these numbers will have changed. They'll be much higher. Hopefully not much higher, but they'll be higher. But as of April 30th, there are 3.3 million cases approximately of COVID-19 in the world. In other words, 3.3 million people have contracted this virus. That is 0.042% of the world's population. 0.042. The amount of deaths that have happened as of April 30th, and again, this number will be higher as you listen to this, but I have, as of April 30th, 233,468 deaths. Not an insignificant number. And again, I'm not minimizing that for the people that have walked through this. It is a terrible grief and tragedy in their life. About 250,000 people roughly have died at this point because of COVID-19. That is, it compared to the world population, proportionally 0.003% of the world's population. So let me repeat that, 0.003%. 0.03% of the world's population have died so far as of April 30th of COVID-19. And of course, that number will go higher. So those numbers would have to be adjusted accordingly. So here's the question. If this is unprecedented, then nothing like this has ever happened in history before, right? Well, let's just think for a moment. If you were to go back, some of you probably done this recently, look at some of the past plagues, pandemics that have happened in world history, you would read about things like the plague of Justinian, 541, 542, the Roman Empire, or what was left of the Roman Empire at that point in time. About 25 million people died approximately throughout what would have been the former Roman Empire through the plague of Justinian. About 25 million people. There are other pandemics that would have happened in history since the time of Christ, the time of the Lord Jesus on earth. There would have been pandemics that happened before that. Some of it would be recorded, and I didn't do enough research to know, and some of you may know more about that than I would. But there have been other pandemics in history, some that probably were never recorded, where, you know, thousands, if not millions of people have died. We know of the plague of Justinian, for one example. Let me come to more modern history here. H3N2 flu. Any of you ever heard of H3N2? I never had. It happened in 1968, literally during my lifetime. I was too young to remember it, but I never even heard of it. 1 million people worldwide died from that virus in 1968. 1957, 58. Again, a lot of you would have been old enough to remember this. The Asian flu. 2 million people died worldwide during the Asian flu pandemic out of a population of 2.9 billion. That is 0.035% of the world's population died from the Asian flu, 1957 to 58, within the lifetime of many of you listening to this message. Now that was, and if I even if I adjust for the COVID-19 deaths rising from what I have in front of me right here, by the time you listen to this, that Asian flu, 1957-58, is 10 times worse in terms of the proportional impact on the world's population and deaths. And again, I'm not minimizing the people that have died from COVID-19. Death is death, whatever way it comes. But I'm just getting a perspective. When we say that something is unprecedented, that clearly is not true. The Black Death, you want unprecedented. The Black Death or the Black Plague, the bubonic plague, 1347 to 1352, out of a population of approximately 80 million people in Europe. Are you ready for this? Out of a population of approximately 80 million, a conservative estimate is that 40 million died out of 80 million. You heard me correctly. 40 out of 80 million people died. That's about one half of the population of Europe died during the Black Plague. That was over a period of 6 or 7 years. It wasn't all in 1 year, but still, it's a major hit. Even if you factor an annual death rate, you come up with this, an annual death rate average of 10% of the population dying every year in Europe. When you compare that on a scale to what we're dealing with COVID-19, taking into account the world population, which at that time, the world population was 450 million people, and they estimate conservatively at least 100 million out of 450 million died. Some say as high as 200 million. They obviously didn't keep statistics and information about deaths the way we do. You're still looking at something that was over 3,000 times worse proportionally to what we're dealing with now with COVID-19. Again, what we are facing is not unprecedented. I would say something like the Black Plague was unprecedented. Let me read an excerpt from a chronicler, Italian chronicler, during the Black Plague. His name, Agnola di Tura, recorded from the city of Siena. He says this. He says, "Father abandoned child, wife abandoned husband, one brother abandoned another. For this illness seemed to strike through the breath and sight. And so they died. And none could be found to bury the dead for money or friendship. Members of a household brought their dead to a ditch as best they could. Without priest, without divine offices, great pits were dug and piled deep with a multitude of dead. And they died by the hundreds both day and night. And as soon as those ditches were filled, more were dug. And I, Agnola di Tura, buried my 5 children with my own hands. And there were also those who were so sparsely covered with earth that the dogs dragged them forth and devoured many bodies throughout the city. There was no one who wept for any death, for all awaited death. And so many died that all believed it was the end of the world." Now, as you listen to that, you read something like that, and if you look at the art from the time of the Black Death, it's no wonder people thought it was the end of the world. And there was so much death that the people couldn't even cry. I mean, it's beyond our imagination, really, to know what it would have been like to live during that time. And that's why when we hear the word unprecedented in terms of what we're dealing with today, when you know even a little bit about history, you realize that is just so inaccurate to say something like that. Let me come a little bit closer to home, though, in terms of time. The Spanish flu, 1918 to 1920. In the Spanish flu, it is estimated that at least or roughly 50 million people out of a population of 1.6 billion, 50 million of the world's people died during the Spanish flu out of 1.6 billion. That's 3% of the world's population. That would put it, the Spanish flu, in terms of, if you factor in the proportion of population today to then and the percentage of death, mortality rate, that 1,000 times worse in terms of those numbers than what we're dealing with today. And that's only 100 years ago, the Spanish flu. 55,000 Canadians died during that time. We are at, as of April 30th, 3,200 Canadians dying. And again, I'm not minimizing that. It's a significant number. It's serious. But it certainly is not unprecedented. to see numbers like that. When we think of the number of people that died during the Spanish flu, 55,000 Canadians. Now, that's at a time when the population of Canada would have been just between 8 million people during that time in Canada. And it's mind-boggling to think of the proportion of people that died as a result of the Spanish flu. It struck people in the prime of their life, between the ages of 20 and 40, primarily were the target. Many, many children were left orphans by the Spanish flu. Orphanage organizations, government organizations to care for orphans sprang up, particularly in the United States. It was very hard hit because, again, you had thousands of children whose parents in their 20s and 30s had died because of Spanish flu. The entire workforce was dramatically affected because, again, people in the prime of their life had died, compounded by the fact that the First World War had just ended and thousands of young men had died also during the time of the war. So it was just a terrible time in history when you try to imagine what it would have been like to live through World War I, the amount of death there, and then have this Spanish flu follow right out of that. Again, when we use the word unprecedented today, it just doesn't do justice when you look at history and you look at events like the Spanish flu and the other things we've been thinking about. The other thing that's interesting about Spanish flu is that a lot of the things that we're seeing happening today during our crisis were happening then. Let me read a few paragraphs about Spanish flu in Canada. It says, inadequate quarantine measures, powerlessness against the illness, a lack of coordinated efforts from health authorities led to unsurmountable chaos. Countless nurses, volunteers, and members of charitable organizations risked their lives to ensure that a large number of the ill and their families survived. Municipal and provincial authorities tried to save lives by prohibiting public gatherings and closing all except necessary services. The closings covered schools, churches, theaters, pool halls. Provinces enacted laws regarding quarantine and enforced the wearing of masks in public. As the rates of infection grew, the number of healthy workers declined. Before long, the Canadian economy was paralyzed. Healthcare professionals were perhaps the hardest hit. Criticized for failing to provide resources and coordination to public health authorities across the country, the federal government responded to the crisis by founding the Department of Health in 1919. And so again, when you read things like that, you realize that what we're dealing with today is not unprecedented. Thank God today things are actually much better organized and our healthcare much better than what it was in 1918 to 1920. And they have learned through pandemics that have happened in the past, and it is minimizing the impact that it's having on our world today. But to call what we're dealing with unprecedented simply doesn't line up with history. Now, there's other things that I could look at, but I don't want this to be all about history. Again, I'm not minimizing the current crisis. Some have lost loved ones. That's real suffering. Some are incredibly ill because of this. That's real suffering. Some are losing their jobs and their businesses, struggling just to keep going. Some will not be able to. That's real financial suffering. That's real suffering. But for most of us, let's be honest, this is simply a major inconvenience. It's not easy, but we really aren't suffering. We're able to live in nice homes, most of us. We can get food that we need. We don't have the freedoms that we had before, but can we really call this suffering? For some it is, for sure, a reality, but for many of us, it isn't. And much worse things have happened before. We read about some of the other pandemics. Think about the world wars that have affected our world, genocides that have happened in the last century in certain parts of the world. And we think of our forefathers, some of you even listening, that lived through World War II, the Great Depression, how that affected the world, and our forefathers living through that. We talked about the Spanish flu earlier, World War I. There have been much more difficult times that have affected our world, even in recent history, fairly recent history. And then think about this, the Third World, even today, experiences things like famine, disease. You read about North Africa right now and the drought and the locust epidemic and the famine that's coming there that they're very concerned about. This is today, and there are people living in the world today that would deal with things that for us is just something that we see in the news, and quite frankly, we often don't want to think much about that, do we? Disease affecting that part of the world, war, poverty. So there are people even in the third world today that are being affected by things that we're calling unprecedented. I didn't say you and me, but our culture is calling unprecedented. Our country, our culture, our generation has been spared almost any suffering, really, in a serious way. And thank God for that. We enjoy prosperity, incredible prosperity, security, freedom. And we've lost some of that. The ability just to go to the store and buy what you want to buy, to go down to your local Canadian Tire, whatever it is you want to go and just buy. We get upset about that maybe, or it's frustrating, or when are we going to get back to normal? But two things. Number one, that's not really suffering. It's a frustration, but it's not suffering. Secondly, have we not taken for granted so much, right? That we can just, I just think of the privilege just of being able to go to the store and buy what I want to buy, relatively speaking, you know, if you have the money, you know what I'm saying, but just the freedom to be able to do that. I took that for granted. And then the big one for all of us, and the reason I'm doing this, we can't gather in our local churches. We can't assemble together as the Lord's people. And have we taken that for granted? There are people in parts of the world that have lived in underground churches that couldn't do what we do normally, and we pray for them sometimes, and we acknowledge that reality, and now for a different reason, we're not able to gather. And I don't know about you, but you miss it immensely. And Zoom and recorded messages are great. It's thank God we have the technology to do this, but nothing replaces the assembling of God's people together. And I am sure that there is a longing in the hearts of all who know and love the Lord to be able to meet with the Lord's people. And I hope and pray, and I'm sure many of you are as well, many are, that when we come through this and we get to the other side, Lord willing, that we will love and desire to gather with the Lord's people more than we have before, that we won't take it for granted, perhaps the way some of us have in the past. And so I say all of that to give perspective to the present crisis that we are going through, that the pandemic that we are experiencing is not unprecedented. Things like this have happened in the past. Ecclesiastes 1, let me just grab a few thoughts out of Ecclesiastes 1. I've rambled long enough laying a foundation here. So there's three principles I want us to see in the three verses that we read in Ecclesiastes 1. The first principle is this. Number one, what has happened in the past will happen again in the future. There is nothing new. And if I could just put a little bit of a different spin on that, there is nothing unprecedented. We read in verse 9, that which has been is what will be, that which is done is what will be done, and there's nothing new under the sun. The New Living Translation renders that verse this way. Interesting translation. It says, history merely repeats itself. It has all been done before. Nothing under the sun is truly new. That word new in the Hebrew language means fresh. It has the idea of something that is fresh. And I think the idea of that would be something that's not happened before. Something that is not precedented, or something that is truly unprecedented. And Solomon, the Spirit of God, is simply saying there's nothing like that in this life. Things have happened, good things come and go, and the sun rises and the sun sets. You read about that in verse 5. I remember the first, when the reality of this virus was starting to sink in, and I was feeling a little anxious and a little worried, and I think as most of us were, what's going to happen here? What's going to be the fallout of all of this? And I remember getting up early in the morning, and our house where we're located, we can see the horizon on either side where the sun rises or the sun sets, and I got up early in the morning and the sun rose. And at the end of the day, the sun set, and exactly what we read in verse 5, the sun also rises, the sun goes down. In other words, God has established an order in this world and in creation that's just going to keep going, regardless of COVID-19, regardless of anything that happens in the world of men. life will keep going, and the birds will keep doing what they do and sing, and the animals will be out there doing whatever they do. And in the midst of all the turmoil that we go through, life just keeps going. And the picture here of the wind going to the south and turning to the north, and it whirls about continually, and all that to say there's nothing new under the sun. God has established an order, and it happens, and it keeps going, and it cycles. And there's been pandemics in the past, and they're happening again, and there's been wars in the past, and they will happen again. There's nothing new. There's nothing fresh. There's nothing really that we can look at and say, wow, this has never happened before. And so there's the first principle. What has happened in the past will happen again in the future. Here's the second principle. What is happening in our world today has happened before. What is happening in our world today has happened before. And I've already emphasized that out of verse 9, but look at what verse 10 says. Is there anything of which it may be said, see, this is new? And at the end of the verse, it says this, it has already been in ancient times before. Now, the specific details of things might be new. COVID-19 is a new virus, the novel coronavirus. It's new. But viruses have been around in the past. And this is a different variation of a virus. And in that sense, it's new. But it's not really a new thing, right? They've been here before. They will be here in the future. In fact, it was so predictable that the people that were in the know in healthcare field, scientists were saying, look, we got to get ready. There's going to be a pandemic. There's going to be a virus. Why? Because it's been there in the past. And they knew that. And they knew that that was coming again based on history and based on science. So the details of this are new. We have technologies today that are new that help us to fight these things. Praise God for that. We have 24/7 news today if we want it. That's a new thing. I don't know if you're happy about that or not. That's something that's new in terms of a detail, but the event itself, that kind of event and the death and the suffering that comes about from it, a pandemic, that's not new. That's been happening in the past. There really is nothing new. It has already been in ancient times before us. So what is happening in our world today has happened before. And here's the third principle out of these verses. Each generation forgets what the generations of the past experienced. Each generation forgets what the generations of the past experienced. Listen to verse 11. Listen to it again. There is no remembrance of former things, nor will there be any remembrance of things that are to come by those who will come after. Now, the word ancient comes up in verse 10. It has already been in ancient times before us. That word in verse 10, ancient, is a word that means literally, in the Hebrew, a vanishing point. And so the picture there, when you think of ancient times, it's like you can try to look back into the past, but you can't even see that far back. We have no recollection. We have no knowledge of that. It's so far, literally one way of translating that word is out of mind. It's just so far in the past, it's out of our mind. We don't even think about it. We forget about it. And then that follows, right? When you come to verse 11, there is no remembrance of former things. The idea of the word remembrance there means no memorial or no record. And the root of that word means to mark something. And the idea of marking is to remember it. And so the writer here, Solomon, the Spirit of God through Solomon, is saying there's no remembrance of former things. Well, what does that mean, that there's no historical records? No, the Bible has historical records in it. So it's not saying that there's no historical records of facts and details and information and names and places and events and things that took place. But I think really what's being said here is not about the lack of historical record and marking things down. I mean, and that's true of today, right? We have historical records of everything. I mean, just with Google, it is amazing what you can find. Just Google it, right? You want to Google information about the Spanish flu, hit a button on your computer, and you can get reams of information about it. So it's not that there's no details out there, no facts out there. What is it talking about when there's no remembrance? I think it's this. It's not relevant to our experience. I'm not saying the facts of history are not relevant. They are. We can learn from the past. We ought to learn from the past. But in terms of our personal experience, as I live my life from day to day, what happened 100 years ago, really, in a sense, and I'm saying this speaking in terms of our culture today, that doesn't matter to me. That does not matter to me. All I'm thinking about is today and my life and how these things are affecting me. And so the thought, I think, really in verse 11 is that each generation is focused on themselves and their own experience. And it's not that we don't know any information about the past. It's just what happened there. That doesn't affect my life today. And there's something lost in that when we're not conscious of what has happened in the past, learning from it. And so guess what happens? We say things like, well, what we're going through today is unprecedented. We've never gone through anything like this before. That simply isn't true. Even if you said this, it's unprecedented for our time. That really destroys the whole meaning of the word unprecedented, because that's not what the word means. And in a sense, it's ignoring the past. It's saying we don't even care about the past. All we're concerned about is right now. And I'm not saying that every individual thinks that way. I'm not saying you think that way. I'm saying that's our culture and our world. And that's the language that is being used. Someone once famously said, I think it was a philosopher, I have his name down here, George Santayana, those who do not learn history are doomed to repeat it. Now that's the quote, but actually the more correct quote apparently is that he said this, those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it. I'm not saying that we could have stopped this virus if we would have been more focused on the past, because only the Lord could have done that. God has allowed this for a reason and a purpose. We'll get into that later on in the series, perhaps what those purposes are. But certainly we could have been better prepared, right? That is going to come out and there's going to be all kinds of uproar and inquiries and things about why government should have been more prepared. Not learning from the past. Just living in the present. Not thinking about, forgetting, not remembering the former things, as the verse tells us we tend to do, right? So what we're going through today is not unprecedented. Worse things have happened before. And brothers and sisters, I believe when I read about the tribulation that worse things, far worse things, are going to happen in the future. And we are not immune as believers in Jesus Christ to suffering. We have been so blessed, and I'm not saying I want suffering. I don't. But if God in his purpose is allowing us, along with the whole world, we're not alone in this, to go through some kind of trial or difficulty, we've been so used to such an incredible standard of living in our country. Thank God for that. But if now for a season we're going to be struggling a little bit in some way, some seriously, absolutely, those that are experiencing death and loss, but some of us not so much, but it's a struggle regardless. We're not immune from that. And it's not as if we're entitled to have a life where there isn't any problems and issues. Now, I don't know about you, but I need to be reminded of that. Maybe one of the things that God is speaking to me about in this is just don't take everything for granted the way that you do. Here's another thing about perspective in closing. God is unchanged and unfazed through all of this. The eternal God who exists in past, present, future, who inhabits eternity, this does not touch him. He sits sovereign over all. It's not that he just randomly threw this virus or allowed this virus to happen. God has a purpose in it. And God cares about us as we go through this, and God cares about this world. And we'll get into some of those things later on, difficult things to deal with. We'll face it later on. But I want to end with this thought and this message. We talked about the idea that there's nothing new under the sun, nothing new, nothing unprecedented, according to Ecclesiastes 1. And that is true about life under the sun, life in this world, life as we know it, if you will. But there's a day coming, brothers and sisters, where something really unprecedented is going to happen. A lot of things in the book of Revelation are unprecedented. But I want to go to Revelation 21. Revelation 21, verses 4 and 5. And I want us to see that there is a day coming when we're going to live in a world that is new. Right now, there's nothing new under the sun. Whether it's good, whether it's evil, it just keeps going in this cycle. But someday, God is going to make everything new. Revelation 21, verse 4, God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain. And I love this. Look at the end of verse 4. For the former things have passed away. Hey, this is the way it was. That was the order. That was the nothing new under the sun and all the cycles and the things that were going on. Well, guess what? Those former things have passed away. And I love verse 5. He who sat on the throne. So here is God sitting on the throne. And what does he say? What does he declare here to John? He says, behold, speaking prophetically of the future, behold, I make all things new. That chapter begins with a new heaven and a new earth. God is going to make everything new. Guess what, brothers and sisters? That word new in the Greek means almost exactly the same thing. Pretty much the same thing is the word new in Ecclesiastes 1, where there's nothing new, there's nothing fresh. This word in Revelation 21, verse 5, says it's all new, it's all fresh, it's all going to change, and it's all going to change for the better, brothers and sisters. And there's going to be a world and there's going to be a time where there's going to be no viruses, no worry of financial losses, no fear and anxiety and insecurity, no suffering, no death. All of those things will pass away. And we will be in a place that is fresh and new and living and bursting with the life and the presence and the glory of God. I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to that, aren't you? And may God just encourage us, give us a perspective as we go through this present crisis in all these things that we've talked about. But to end with this thought, that is our destiny, to be with God in that place. And what a time, what an opportunity to share with others the fact that they can be there too. If they know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they come to him and they believe in him. May God work mightily in us and through us and in our world during this difficult time. And we ask these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for his honor and his glory.